The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and joining us today is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist from abouts unknown.
From a remote location. Mm-hmm.
Good morning. Did you finish your game? Is that?
We did. Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. Chilly out there on the tennis court, but very, very nice. A change of pace, so to speak.
All right, and we try to drive home a message every day on the program, and we do that by passing along information to the healthcare consumer so they can make better decisions for themselves regarding their health. So there's a topic we discussed we've discussed many times in the past, and I'm going to start off by putting out a question to our listeners. When you go to a doctor and they routinely check cholesterol levels, and they find your cholesterol level is elevated, what do you choose to do? Now, I guess most patients would choose to do whatever their doctor tells them. Is that your experience, Janet?
Most of the clients that I do nutrition counseling with are coming to me for an alternative, but they are very fearful. Their doctors have made them afraid of their cholesterol numbers.
Well, I'm going to take a wild guess and state that the likelihood is they're going to put a patient on statin drugs. You know, there are 100 million people worldwide on statin drugs. So you can see why the drug companies are all in favor of statin drugs. Now, I have another question for you, Janet. So, and this really has to do with the point of where I'm going here is that people that go on statin drugs compared to people who choose not to have double the risk of developing diabetes. Do you think that's entirely because the drug itself increases the risk, or do you think people that go on statin drugs are not interested in paying attention to their diet and lifestyle because they say, well, I'm on a drug, the numbers are good now, I don't have to really pay attention to taking care of myself, and then they go on to develop diabetes?
Well, Dr. Slavin, I was paying attention to what you were talking about yesterday, and I absolutely agree with you that, unfortunately, when people are given a prescription drug, they think that they no longer have any responsibility with regard to their health. They think the drug is going to take care of it, and consequently, they can afford, in their minds, to make poor dietary choices, that those dietary choices, along with the statin drug, do increase the risk of developing circulatory diseases, as well as diabetes, inflammatory diseases as well. And inflammation is one of the reasons that doctors say when a patient has moderately high, maybe 210, 220 total cholesterol levels, they still recommend using drug to lower cholesterol because they're saying, well, you're going to get the benefits of lowering inflammation as well. So it's a combination, as you have said. Dr. Slavin?
Now, you know, the point that has to be made is that the pharmaceutical industry has a major stake in people continuing to take statin drugs because, I mean, we're talking about billions of dollars a year. Now, statin drugs are associated with, we mentioned diabetes, also with weight gain, cataract formation, diminished mental capacity and muscle pain, and also liver abnormalities as well. That's why people are looking for alternatives. But just think what mainstream medicine told everybody not that long ago. If you want to lower your cholesterol, stop eating cholesterol. How'd that work out?
Not so very well.
But could they have said that because they want to just keep putting patients on cholesterol-lowering drugs? See, eating cholesterol doesn't have anything to do with your cholesterol levels in your body. And I think they do the same thing. You see a pattern here. They do the same thing when it comes to osteoporosis. And they say, well, that's the weak bones and you need more calcium, so just start consuming more calcium. That doesn't solve the problem either. So they can keep selling their drugs. So the pattern here is that they give you advice that will not interfere with their drug sales because their advice is ineffective. So how do you lower cholesterol? And the interesting thing is, you know, when you lower cholesterol through dietary changes, a lot of other things happen to your body. Your weight goes down. Your blood sugar goes down. Your insulin sensitivity increases so that your insulin levels go down. All these benefits from choosing a healthier lifestyle, but that apparently is not their goal. And by the way, just another example, I think the real culprit and the real common denominator behind a lot of these conditions, the diabetes or the pre-diabetes, the high cholesterol, the weight gain, the high blood pressure, the common denominator there is insulin resistance. We see in people with these problems higher than optimal insulin levels controlling their blood sugar. So if the doctor isn't checking their insulin levels in a fasting state, they won't pick up on this because people can have normal blood sugars but still have insulin levels that are higher than they should be. And that's what's behind all these problems. And guess what? When you take a statin drug, it does nothing to improve insulin sensitivity. When you take a blood pressure lowering drug, it does nothing to improve insulin sensitivity. So you can see, you know, the real problems here with the advice we're getting from mainstream medicine. So now they've come up with more advice for us. And maybe it's a little bit better than they've been giving in the past. Because last month they released the new dietary guidelines. Isn't it strange that it seems that nobody knows how to eat healthy anymore? Every year they have to release new dietary guidelines, like they're just learning what makes us healthy and what makes us sick?
Well, for so long, people have been misled with regard to packaged and processed foods. They assumed that since they were in the grocery store, truth was that this was really food, but indeed it was adulterated food as a base and then packaged and advertised to create a customer base. Unfortunately, those processed and packaged foods were full of so many different chemicals, and those chemicals really little by little by little by little edged out nutrient substances that would be gotten from fresh whole foods and ultimately led to certain types of disease states. And it might be other lifestyle factors that contributed to the development of the disease states along with the foods, or it might be some genetic background that made it a little more difficult to access the high-quality nutrients, or it could be a combination of both. So the American people have been misled, and unfortunately, Madison Avenue has moved people away from true high-quality food.
Okay, so here are some of the guidelines that represent some of the changes. They have a new sugar limit. I'm not sure what the limit was before, but now they're saying your sugar intake should be no more than 10% of your total calorie intake. Based on a 2,000 calorie a day diet, that would be 200 calories or 50 grams of sugar. I'm not sure that's...
Sugar, oh my goodness.
Yeah, 4 calories per gram, so that's 200 calories. Probably still a little on the high side, probably closer to 25 grams of sugar a day is better, and even lower than that would be better, especially if you're diabetic. Another guideline they issued was that artificial sweeteners should not be used for weight loss. So, you know, it's funny, it should not be used for weight loss. They should leave out, for weight loss and just say should not be used.
That is very good advice. And unfortunately, a lot of people who have been diagnosed either with prediabetes or diabetes, metabolic syndrome, a whole host of different name categories, those zero-calorie sweeteners have been, I believe, marketed to that group of people. And unfortunately, there is no benefit with regard to blood sugar stability using those zero-calorie sweeteners. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about Splenda, Equal, Sweet and Low. Those three still contribute to destabilization of your blood sugar levels. And what are you after? You're looking to create a very, very stable blood glucose level.
Exactly, yeah. And there's mounting evidence. I think the evidence is already there, actually, that artificial sweeteners, rather than helping with weight loss, actually promote weight gain, as well as worsening insulin resistance, and therefore, doing just the opposite of what you think it should be doing. That music means it's time for a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and with us today is Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. We'll be back right after this.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. We've all heard the phrase, trust your gut. But did you know that your gut or your digestive function is critical to your overall health? Indigestion and irritable bowel can lead to chronic illness throughout the body. Take the steps to ensure your gut is healthy by getting nutrients to your body that are necessary to fight off infections and disease. Keep your gut healthy. Go to JanetCimarelli.com and set up a counseling appointment with me. I'll explain how you can change your diet and change your life.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and joining us today is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. And yesterday, Janet, you were off by a day.
Yes, I was, and I'm so glad you brought it up.
Well, okay. We had mentioned that Stuart Tompkins is going to be on talking about cannabidiol, and he'll be with us tomorrow.
Right. Certainly, and I just was walking around yesterday thinking that yesterday was Wednesday, so as you said, I was off by a day. And I have to correct another mistake that I made. I was letting our listeners know that we were going to be having Dan Lifton on talking about PQQ. And I was off by a month with that one. So Dan will be joining us March 3rd. So tomorrow, fabulous Stuart Tomk, and we're going to be talking about CBD oil. That extract from hemp that is so, so very, very helpful at relieving pain, spasms, insomnia, supporting your immune system, so many incredibly important things. He'll be with us tomorrow, and then Dan Lifton in about a month, a little less than a month, he'll be talking to us about PQQ. Dr. Slavin?
All right, so we were talking about the new dietary guidelines that have been recently issued, and we're talking about the fact that they're placing a limit on how much sugar you should have. They placed it at about 50 grams a day based on a 2,000-calorie-a-day diet. Lower would still be better. They mentioned artificial sweeteners are not effective in weight loss. In fact, actually promotes weight gain. And then another important area is new guidelines for regarding how much protein you should eat. So they are saying that you probably should have a little bit less protein, or at least pay attention to it. And the sources of protein are important as well. They are recommending sort of a little bit, they're recommending, they should recommend more, but they're recommending against eating processed meats. And, you know, here's an interesting fact. I don't know how many of us have realized that the World Health Organization and the International Agency for Research on Cancer, which is part of the World Health Organization, has actually classified processed meats as a group 1 carcinogen.
Well, you think about the preservatives that are in those processed meats, usually nitrates and nitrites. It's about time people started talking about that is a carcinogenic food, a food that promotes the growth of cancer cells. The nitrates and nitrites combine with the saliva in your digestive system, and that combination creates a carcinogenic response.
And the primary cancer it's associated with is colorectal cancer. When it gets back to protein, probably the recommendation is to eat about 40 to 70 grams a day based on your weight. The other important point is the source of protein. Fish is probably a better source than meat. Not that you shouldn't have meat ever, but you should make sure it's a high-quality, organic pasture, pastured and grass-fed, so that you're getting a food that's raised the way it was supposed to be raised. I think the one common denominator we see about the poor diets that people have, a major component of that is they're eating food that's not natural, not raised in a natural way, not grown in a natural way, you know, exposed to all types of artificial ingredients as well as artificial fertilizers and artificial herbicides and pesticides. You know, that's not natural food. You know, these are contaminated foods, and they have an impact on our health. You have to try and eat as clean a diet as possible. When it comes to fish, a couple things. You want to get wild fish as opposed to a farm-raised fish, partly because I think the ocean environment is always going to be a healthier environment than penned-in farms that they have the fish raised in, even if it's in the ocean. And then you know, here's the thing, too, about fish. You know, on a packaged product, okay, with a packaged product, they put a label on there. They tell you, you know, how it was produced or what ingredients are in there. You know, with fish, it doesn't come packaged. You know, you just see a fish lying on a slab of ice, and you don't know. Well, sometimes they'll tell you it's been farm-raised, but they don't tell you how they raised that fish. You know, what did they feed the fish and things like that. So I think that would be important information to know. And then, Janet, I think we had a question about artificial sweeteners.
I believe we did. And Joe may be able to help us with what the question is. Oh, great. Hi, Jerry. Welcome to Natural Doc Radio. So glad to have you.
Hi. Listen, guys, I listen every day. I try to get people to listen. This is Jerry from the Golden Corral. You know who I am. I want to know is I try to save these people's lives over there because they eat tons of sugar and tons of these sweeteners almost every day. And I don't know what else, I don't know what to tell them to use because they look at me like I'm crazy. I can't drink coffee or tea or whatever without sweetener of some kind. So I don't know what to tell them to use.
Okay. One of the things that I tell people is you're better off with real sugar. Real sugar, and the idea is to very gradually get down to the smallest amount in your coffee or tea that's still palatable to you. The other thing that I do is I tell them what Splenda is, and I think it comes as a shock to a lot of people that Splenda is three molecules of chlorine bound to one molecule of sucrose. So you have a very, very toxic mix there. And even though there are no calories in it, it is truly poison. And so they're absolutely much better off if they choose to use regular sugar. Of course, if they're at Golden Corral, the choice for having stevia is just not one of the possibilities. But when you think about it, you could bring a couple of packets of stevia in your pocket, and you have something that truly a much better choice.
Stevia, okay, that's bad, okay. How about just regular honey? Just bring in a bottle of honey and just let people put a couple of drops of honey in. Would that be healthy?
I absolutely agree with that. That would come under the classification of just choosing regular sugar instead of those chemical mixes that are so potentially harmful to our good health.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
We appreciate the call.
Thank you for all that really good you're doing, informing the customers where you are working about improving their health through better choices.
Now, it's important to mention, specifically when you're talking about Splenda, and you mentioned that it's a glucose molecule with chlorine attached to it. It's been associated with gastrointestinal problems, seizures, blurred vision, allergic reactions, blood sugar increase, and weight gain. Now, you know, so it's counterintuitive. You know, you're taking an artificial sweetener, no calories, but it's making your weight go up. But it is. So you need to know that. The other thing, because you mentioned that it has chlorine molecules in with the glucose molecule, it does have a negative effect on your thyroid as well. So you mentioned stevia. Xylitol is another consideration if you want to use something artificial. But I still prefer to stay with natural things. Jerry mentioned honey. You know, just everything in limit, within limits. You don't want to overdo it. And I think that's part of the problem, with particularly with sugar. People are overdoing it. So, you know, just think natural as much as possible. And now we were talking about the new guidelines. They have new guidelines regarding cholesterol, believe it or not. I think right now the guideline, up until now, the guideline has been, you know, avoid cholesterol. You know, don't have a cut back on, you know, meats and butter and other sources of cholesterol. And eggs in particular, they said don't have eggs, because all these foods that have cholesterol in them are associated with increasing your risk of heart disease. And decades worth of research now has utterly failed to demonstrate this correlation. Well, there was never a correlation. I think this was all made up stuff to sell drugs, to avoid addressing the real problem in order to sell drugs. So now they're saying that cholesterol is not considered a nutrient of concern for overconsumption. So, you know, cholesterol is not the issue. The real issue is sugar. You know, sugar and carbohydrates in your diet. And when we talk about carbohydrates, we're talking about the non-fiber carbohydrates, which means you're talking about the starches in particular. The fiber carbohydrates, those are your fruits and vegetables, but we say watch the fruits because of the sugar content. So in the past, the guideline for cholesterol would have been 300 milligrams a day, which is equivalent to about two eggs. Now they've removed that dietary cholesterol guideline entirely. So it's important to know cholesterol is one of the most important molecules in your body. Your body needs it. It doesn't need sugar. I think that should be the take home here. They've lowered it, the guidelines, a little bit, but not enough. And what you should remember, and think about this when you're taking that statin drug to artificially lower your cholesterol levels because you're not changing your diet the way it should be changed. Cholesterol is an important function in the body with regard to brain health and memory function, and is indispensable for building cells and the production of stress and sex hormones, as well as vitamin D. So think about that when you're taking that statin drug. But right now, it's time for a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and with us today is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Herbert Slavin and Janet Cimarelli. They're located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauder Hill. And you can find them on the web at advancedmedicaltesting.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience. Clean, comfortable, and efficient. They guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest prices. They test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. They draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostics, Simulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call them today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine introduces holistic and comprehensive ways to maintain your health, maintain your energy and immunity, your flexibility and your wellness. The team of specialists at the Institute of Advanced Medicine offer all the services to enhance and support all categories of function, health, and well-being. You can call 954-748-4991 to make an appointment today, 954-748-4991.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and joining us is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. And we've been talking about the new guidelines with regard to what we should eat, you know, dietary guidelines. And, you know, we mentioned, you know, new guidelines as far as it's important to limit sugar and to avoid artificial sweeteners, especially for weight loss, because it doesn't work. And, you know, then we talked about probably limiting your protein, but more importantly, limiting your consumption of processed meats, because those are the ones that have absolutely no health benefits and are associated with increased risk of colorectal cancer. The World Health Organization has actually classified it as a group 1 carcinogen. Eat more vegetables, but you have to eat the kinds that are high fiber vegetables as opposed to starches like potatoes or rice. I don't know. They didn't mention ketchup. Is that still considered a vegetable?
According to government eating guidelines, ketchup is absolutely a vegetable. Very hard to believe, isn't it?
I'd like to know how much Heinz donated to the politicians that said that. You know, besides, you know, if you look at, you read the label in ketchup, if you're going to use it, get organic ketchup, number one, but read the label. Make sure it doesn't have high fructose corn syrup, because they do use that in ketchup, not every brand. So you have to look at labels. And we mentioned about the cholesterol limits. Now they say it's you don't have to worry about cholesterol. But it's important still. If you, for example, you can have eggs, but a couple of things you have to know. You have to get good quality eggs. They're not all the same out there. So you want to get organic, pasture-raised eggs, number one. And then it's important how you cook the egg. The best way to do it is either poached, hard-boiled, or soft-boiled, because when you cook the egg that way, they're being cooked without contact to the environment, to oxygen, because oxygen will oxidize the cholesterol, and that's when you get the bad cholesterol. So, you know, that's an important thing, too. Janet, so bacon would be considered a processed meat?
Well, there are choices in the health food stores for uncured bacon. And so, you know, it depends on what your choice is. If you are buying just mainstream bacon in the grocery store, it contains nitrates and nitrites, those carcinogens that we mentioned earlier. And so you can get uncured bacon, and you can get uncured turkey bacon. So there are a lot of choices with regard to bacon. And you want, as you mentioned, quality is the name of the game.
It always is. And that's why, you know, personal choice. I'm eating out less and less because you just don't know the quality of the food you're being served in restaurants. Janet, you eat out occasionally, don't you?
Definitely.
So how do you choose the healthiest foods on the menu?
Okay, well, there's a restaurant that I go to. They have commercial salmon and they have wild-caught salmon. And the wild-caught salmon is a little bit pricier. So I will have the wild-caught salmon. I'll generally pick a couple of vegetables rather than a vegetable and a starch. So that's one of the ways that I do. And the other thing, Dr. Slavin, sometimes because I am on the straight and narrow, for the most part, I'm not perfect, but on the straight and narrow for the most part, sometimes I'll step off that center of just absolute focus on good health. But I won't go for things like a soda. I won't go for things like French fries. I will stay away from their rolls, which are generally high gluten, highly processed, enriched wheat flour products. So those are some of the ways that I, I stray, but I still have a little bit of certain things that I absolutely won't do.
I think probably still the best advice, though, when you eat out, is to just pay attention to the carbs and the sugar, because that's the hardest thing to avoid. Now some more misinformation that's still being released. They're saying that you don't want to have too much saturated fat because it raises LDL. Of course, we all know that LDL is the bad cholesterol, right? But no, it raises
I disagree. Right. I will not call LDL cholesterol the bad cholesterol. Cholesterol delivers white blood cells to the site of an infection.
Well, you would call it bad cholesterol if you want to put someone on a statin drug. Here's the point is the saturated fats only raise the safe, fluffy LDL particles. So if it does raise LDL, it's raising the healthy components there. And they also omit the fact that saturated fat will actually increase HDL. And how do we know this information? Well, they did a meta-analysis a couple years ago, and that was published in the Annals of Internal Medicine. And a meta-analysis is when they look at several studies and put all the information together. In this case, they looked at 76 studies, which included more than 500,000 people, and they found that those who consume higher amounts of saturated fat have no more heart disease than those who consume less. So, you've been misled for a long, long time. And furthermore, they say those who ate higher amounts of unsaturated fat, and that includes both the healthy unsaturated fat like olive oil and the unhealthy saturated fat like corn oil, and they're both recommended over saturated fats, they did not lower the incidence of heart disease. So the message here is that the fats are not the culprit, as are the carbohydrates and the sugar. Now, there was another meta-analysis that was published in the British Medical Journal, and that was published last year, also failed to find an association between high levels of saturated fat in the diet and heart disease, nor did they find an association between saturated fat consumption and other life-threatening diseases like stroke or type 2 diabetes. That's the adult onset type. Now, it's still important to pay attention to the type of fat you're eating. Healthy fats are good for you. They're not to be avoided. So that's, again, so eggs are good if they're, from pastured and organically raised chickens. Red meat is okay if they're from grass-fed and grass-finished cows. It's really pointing again toward the quality of the food you're consuming. Avocado, let's not leave that out. And butter, get organic butter though, because if you don't get organic, then it's going to be contaminated with lots of toxins. Because they give the herds hormones and antibiotics, and they're eating. Well, if it's not organic, they're probably being fed either corn or soy, and it's genetically modified. And the hope is that by consuming organic food, you're avoiding all this contamination. So I think that's something just to remember. Another point to remember is trans fats, they're never good. So you want to just avoid trans fats. So I know in packaged or processed foods now, they always label, now they're saying no zero trans fats, but their definition of zero, and I think everyone else's, is different. Zero means it's less than a certain amount, but it really isn't zero. So So when you're eating something that says zero trans fats, think twice. So that's, again, in processed foods, you're going to see the trans fats.
They have so reduced the size of the serving that they can say truthfully zero trans fats. But the truth of the matter is the serving size that's mentioned on that nutrition facts label is outrageously small, much smaller than anyone would normally consume in real life. So it's truly meaningless. Just going back to the LDL discussion, Dr. Slavin, LDL cholesterol is almost meant to act like a Band-Aid over inflammation in the interior of your blood vessels. So when your LDL cholesterol is high, it is an indication that inflammation is very high. So where you want to focus your efforts would be on reducing inflammation. Now, fish oil, omega-3 fatty acids, particularly EPA, that's one of the ways to approach lowering inflammation. Curcumin, the extract from turmeric, very effective at lowering inflammation. Vitamin E, C, and certainly vitamin D. And over and over and over, we see so many people whose vitamin D levels are low. Things like garlic could be very, very helpful. And when you put all of that to work in your body, you have the natural way to reduce inflammation. And, of course, choosing quality foods and avoiding sugar and artificial sweeteners is a foundational approach to lowering inflammation. Dr. Slavin?
The information coming out these days from reputable sources seem to all be in sync with the fact that low-carbohydrate, high-fat diets promote faster weight loss than a low-fat diet. And there was a study that showed the dieters who were on a low-carbohydrate diet lost 10 pounds in 45 days, while the low-fat dieters needed 70 days to lose the same amount of weight. So it's so difficult to find get the right information or the honest information. That's why I always say look to nature. You know, look to see what every other animal on the planet is eating, because they're not consuming sugar. You know, they're not consuming any processed foods, and neither should we. And yet we've been, misled all these years. Anyway, time for a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and with us is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Current medical treatment addresses problems and symptoms when your ship of health has gone aground, hit the shoals of disease, so to speak. Now, advanced medical testing helps to guide you through the stormy seas of disease. The information from high-tech lab tests such as Doctor's Data, Spectracell, Cleveland Heart Lab, Access, Health Diagnostics Laboratory, and Genova. These advanced tests assist you and your doctor to navigate the treacherous waters of disease development. Call 754-216-2332 to find out more, or visit amtcenters.com.
Are you in search of the fountain of youth, trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor, offers remote counseling sessions. She'll work with you to help you manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She'll help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. Sessions are offered via telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she'll provide you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at janetcimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and joining us today is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. We've been focusing today on two topics that have been that are actually related. We started off saying that, you know, statin drugs actually increase your risk of diabetes by twice as much as people not taking statin drugs. It's probably a combination. The drugs are probably detrimental in some regard, but also I think people that have a mindset that drugs are going to solve their problem aren't taking the initiative to really address the underlying cause of the problem. And for the most part, it's their diet. We also talk about environmental toxins, but, you know, about probably a third of that comes from the food you eat as well. Of course, it's in the water and the air too, but the food is a good source of these environmental toxins as well. So, you know, we're talking about the new guidelines as far as our diets go, and they're saying now cholesterol is not an issue when it comes to heart disease. It's about time, but it still has to come from healthy sources. You know, nothing processed. Processed meats are bad. Eggs are okay, but again, it should. Now, they say eggs are okay, and we're adding one more thing, but get it from healthy chickens that are fed properly. You know, they don't make that decision.
Critically important to make a distinction between commercially brought to market eggs and organic free-range eggs. From chickens that have access to the outdoors, are not on an artificially manipulated cycle of day and night, and that are fed quality foods that chickens normally would eat, and their foods are not contaminated with genetically modified components. Dr. Slavin, we have an option on doctorsforhealth.com that people can send a question in. And there is a question from one of our listeners, and the question is it safe to take African Cape Aloe every day? And the African Cape Aloe was suggested for severe constipation. Can it be used every day, in your opinion?
Well, my recommendation with regard to constipation is, ask yourself the question, do you have a deficiency of African Cape Aloe? So in answer to the question, I say it's okay to use it for a short time while you're working on improving your diet, because that's really the cause of constipation. You know, again, listen to what we're talking about today. We're saying increase your intake of vegetables, decrease your intake of carbohydrates and sugar, and I think and also decrease probably the amount of protein you're taking in, because you're probably having too much. And I think that's the solution to constipation, because it's that diet that the standard American diet promotes is a constipating diet.
If I were in the office with Dr. Slavin, I might have to arm wrestle over this one. Dr. Slavin, I talk to people all the time who actually provide me with diaries, so I know what they're eating every day, and that they are still dealing with severe constipation. And I'm going to say the part of the answer that I would give, I think you're going to be in absolute agreement with. And when your hormones are not properly balanced, absolutely, you may be dealing with severe constipation. And then, you know, where your diet has the impact on the constipation, you may not be able, for some reason or another, to absorb the minerals from the foods that you're taking in, and you might be really deficient in a number of different minerals. Among them, most prominently, would be a deficiency of magnesium. And then, Dr. Slavin, we have another question. Some information for improving a diagnosis of Graves' disease. Do you have any just very quick recommendations for natural support for a diagnosis of Graves' disease, thyroid dysfunction?
Well, Graves' disease is an entirely different thyroid problem than an underactive thyroid. Graves' disease is an overactive thyroid. We don't really know, I don't think we know that much about what's behind that condition. Mainstream medicine has basically one approach. They say, let's take out the thyroid gland. You know, it's causing a problem. I mean, there are medications that can be used to suppress the production of thyroid hormone, because that's what Graves' disease is doing, putting out too much thyroid hormone. Again, we try to address all problems is, you know, fix all the things that are wrong with the person, because I can tell you, when you look for things that are wrong with people, you find them. When you go to your average doctor, he's not looking for things that are wrong. He's just looking to treat symptoms with drugs, and they do a minimum amount of testing. So naturally, they don't find the problems, and they never have the time to address a better diet. So, you know, but as far as anything special, I haven't come across anything in the natural realm specific for reducing the activity of the thyroid. Have you, Janet?
Well, I have a couple of suggestions. And you know how when someone has an underactive thyroid, we tell them to be very, very careful with cruciferous vegetables that are also known as goitrogens. So someone with an overactive thyroid might make sure to include things like broccoli, cauliflower, spinach, kale, cabbage, Brussels sprouts, and gluten is one of the biggies that we tell people with an underactive thyroid to stay away from. And so people with an overactive thyroid, this isn't necessarily a very good overall health recommendation, but they might not necessarily have to be so careful about avoiding gluten. And one of the ways that they could have it in their diets with the minimal aspect of the negatives associated with gluten would be sprouted grain breads. There's still gluten in those sprouted grains, but overall, the sprouted grain bread is a healthier choice. And then, Dr. Slavin, there's bugleweed. There's an herb called bugleweed that sometimes can be helpful at reducing the activity of the thyroid gland. One of the things that I would tell people is if you're going to use that bugleweed, be sure to be using it in conjunction with what that your doctor knows about it. So if you're on any kind of medication that's meant to lower thyroid function, you should certainly communicate with your doctor and work together with your doctor. Dr. Slavin?
All right, we just have a couple of minutes left, so I just want to remind everybody of just the take-home here. You know, when you cut back on the carbohydrates, you know, just think about getting organic seeds you can chew on, or raw nuts like macadamia or pecans. If you're going to have meat, you know, get the grass-fed meat. Make sure it's grass-finished as well. When it comes to eggs, organic pastured eggs is what you want. Butter's okay if it comes from grass-fed organic milk. And then avocados, good source of nutrients and a healthy fat. Raw cacao nibs, palm oil, coconut and coconut oil for all types of cooking. So these are the kind of changes you can make which will have a definitely positive effect on your health, because you'll be lowering your carbohydrate intake, probably lowering your proteins a little bit too, and increasing your fat intake. As long as they're healthy fats, that's the direction you want to go in. So I think we probably still have another minute. And what we see in this country is lots of heart disease, lots of diabetes, people focused on cholesterol for the wrong reasons. And it really stems from eating the wrong way. So we started off saying, you know, statin drugs increase your risk of diabetes, so you don't want to do that. But, you know, just pay more attention to your diet, because that's where all the benefits are going to come from. I guess to do that, you really have to shop the periphery of the supermarkets. Organic produce is being seen in more and more supermarkets. Those are the kind of considerations you want to take into account. Janet, any last minute suggestions?
Yes. Water. And I mentioned before about inflammation, and I mentioned some natural things to use to reduce inflammation. Water with lemon juice, balancing that acid-alkaline balance in your body, that is kind of an underlying benefit to reducing systemic inflammation.
All right, excellent advice, and we've just run out of time. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. With us is Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back tomorrow. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time. And get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.